College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss one last time until next August, college football. Obviously, we're gonna wrap up some of this college football season. I mean, we're obviously not gonna go, you know, possession by possession in the national championship game because, well, it got out of hand. It got out of hand, 52-24. Bama just rolled tied. You know, it was a good start. It seemed like okay, but then by halftime, you're like, wow, they really need to do some damage, and they just couldn't do that damage. And the return of some more talent, as if they didn't have enough talent at wide receiver, they got one back, Menchie, back just in time. Or was that Waddle? That was Waddle, wasn't it? Which one was the guy that came back? I can't remember now. Anyway, they came back. We'll talk about it in a second. And, I mean, Smith, gosh, what a monster game. There's this picture going along Twitter that has two photos of a wide receiver and a running back. And you'd never guess that those two are going to be the national titles. Title list, I should say, but that makes what, six now? It's six now with Bama since 2008. Nick Saban is really, I'd say, knocking on the door of being the best coach of all time, but I think he kicked that thing in. Especially nowadays with more scholarships than they used to do back in the day. Yes, the SEC is tough to you know, not it's easy to get into besides like Vanderbilt, but still, like, it's tougher to keep the people eligible, the players eligible, than it was, you know, way back in the day, because, you know, we care more about it now. So anyway, we are going to get down to this, and we will be at the end of the show wrapping up some stuff as far as for college basketball, because we call it the College Bowl for College Bowl. College Ball Show for a reason. You know, we start late August, run it all the way to early January, national championship. Then we keep the college ball show theme, but just switch it to college basketball. We run that all the way till early April for the national championship. Then we go NBA playoffs, just so you know. So we are going to change this thing to basketball here by next week, just a reminder. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. Streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You know, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadoperadio to download the show directly there or listen to the browser. You can find this show on the Ropeadope Radio podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker. By the way, the Apple Podcast thing, we just realized it wasn't updating properly. For some folks out there. So we are going to fix that. Just a heads up about that while I'm saying that. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found pretty much everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial, no annual contract. Plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR just for signing up. You get a 7-day free trial of HBO Max. One more thing, if you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, and see what's going on with them. Obviously, we're going to get into the game in just a second. But what's going on, man? How the hell are you doing?
Life ain't too bad. I had a heartbreaking loss last night coaching my girls' basketball team. My freshman had a tough night, but our varsity girls, we were up 5. Chris, with 20 seconds to go, and we lost. There was a ref who I believe was trying to be an NBA ref.
Oh,
so they hit a three. to go from down 5-2. We throw the ball in. It's a jump ball. We throw the ball in, turn over. They get the ball. We foul the girl who's like legit, like it must have been a 90% free throw shooter. So we go from a 5-point lead to a 2-point lead, turnover. She makes both free throws. Now it's a tied game with about 11 seconds to go. Then we throw it in, lose the ball. They get a jump ball. Of course, possession arrow is theirs. So now it's their ball with 7 seconds to go. They throw it in. They jack up a long shot. It's missed. Our girl gets the rebound, but she's stuck in the corner. And two other girls on their team are kind of just swinging arms and everything. No call. But as their girl gets the ball and is ready to shoot, the ball leaves her hand at very best, I watched on video, with like 0.001 left. And our girl fouls her after the buzzer. This ref holds the hand up firm, makes the call, foul. I mean, a call you never see in college or NBA. There's 0.01 left on the clock, and she fouls her after the horn, gives her the two shots, misses the first free throw, makes the second, loses by one with no time on the clock. So last night was a tough one, and we've had about four games this year where we've had just some late night bad breaks, and so those are the downfalls of coaching when you have to try to suck it up and go to work the next day of, you know,
so that's a rough one, dude. We didn't have that tight of a barn burner down the stretch in the national championship game, though. That is
I would have liked that. I would have enjoyed to see Bama, like we said on the preview podcast for the national title game, I wouldn't mind seeing Bama down 13. Like, let's see this offense have to press, even if like that would be an issue. But they didn't. And I will say, Chris, what I found the most comical the whole night was good old Kirk Herbstreit, who is a former Buckeye. But he was like continuously giving like this soft praise to the Ohio State defensive coordinator, whose defense was getting ravaged. And I'm not going to blame him for that. But he's like, you know, man, Ohio State, they keep playing Bama to go under. Like, they're forcing everything under in front of Bama. Like, everything's going under the safeties. Should they maybe try, you know, sending the house? It's like, dude, What are we really trying? Is that like just your love for your school? Man, you got to give it to this Ohio State guy. He's making Bama go short with all their plays. They were scoring at will. Like, I don't care what the drives, hell he calls. You know, it's like, dude, I don't want any backhanded fucking compliments for this Ohio State D coordinator. Now, again, I realize he had a hell of a game plan to stop Bama. Probably couldn't happen. But, you know,
and it didn't help, give him credit. Those last second COVID stuff didn't help either on the defense, especially that defensive end.
No. But I'm part of that's just Herbstreit, I think, trying to find a way to find a minor compliment for school because there wasn't much to say. You know, with Ohio State, okay, with the way they played against Clemson, you had to feel that there was a chance the game could be competitive. But then your running back, who had like 550 yards in his last two games, gets hurt the first series of the game for their offense. Like, oh crap. Like, dude, this ain't a good sign. So your biggest playmaker's out. And it was you faced an offense that was not getting shut down that night. The defense we saw Ohio State play against Clemson, their D-line won that battle. In this game against Bama, Chris, the D-line did not win the battle. And, to again, give them credit, Bama's offensive line is freaking insane. So now it was on your secondary to slow down Bama, and that wasn't happening. The secondary we saw in that game was a flashback to Indiana having like a crazy insane second half against Ohio State when they cut that lead from 35-7 to 35-28. That was the secondary we saw. And again, you can't rip them, but shit, you're playing the best team in the country. But Bama truly showed the skills that they have and how so many different people, Chris, and different pieces were accessible for Sark to use on his last game calling plays at Bama.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, to have your top defensive end out does suck, especially since both those edges did so well the week before. To have your tackle out, that sucks. All that sucks. But that's part of it. that is part of it. And it was going to be a tough game defensive line wise, even with those two guys in. But without those two, yeah, it does make a difference. But, you know, like you said, that offense, we talked about how, go figure, the very next year we may have thought we saw the best offense of all time in college football with LSU. A lot of people hadn't seen that type of an offense, quote unquote, from a great team too, not like a team that's not, you know, you got to win the national championship to be considered the best offense of all time, in my opinion. You know, you can't just be like, well, we put up a bunch of numbers at Texas Tech or this or that or whatever, you know, or SMU or whatever, like back in the day and all that, but you got to win the title. And I remember the only one that got that same hype, one of the only ones before that, thinking back, was that Florida or was that Oklahoma, that Oklahoma one with Bradford. And, you know, as we saw, you know, they went against that Florida defense, and that team just in general had a lot of killer. Oh, wait, I was going to say it had a lot of killers on it, but whatever. And like 21-14, I think, was the score. So that best offense of all time got shut the shit down with that type of defense. But, and we had seen that played out before in college football. Usually like the most dominant offenses that win a national championship used to be running based. Think Nebraska, even well, Florida used to throw it around. You know, they kind of turned into that with Spurrier. But yeah, I mean, this deep or offense is just, it's special. And to have that much depth, that wide receiver, we talked about that, to have that much depth, that wide receiver at Alabama, and then to get one of the studs back who had been out for like 6 weeks, it's just crazy. But you start out, like you said, with that, you know, three and out, and your running back's hurt, who's put up 550 in the last two games. Then, and, you know, Herbstreit was right as far as the grinded out, some of these grinded out drives, but they're ending in touchdowns. They're not ending in field goals. So, you know, they go up, they have a 12-play drive, over 5 minutes, 7-0. Now, you know, they responded 7-7, then an 11-play drive, 5 minutes, 14-7. And it just was, if they hadn't fumbled, who knows? You know, maybe it would have been a little higher, but they ended up coming back, and it's 14-14 and 21-14, 21-17. You're like, all right, dude, this isn't that bad. Like, they got their groove going. I think they're going to be okay. 28-17, no big deal. There's a bunch of punts, and you wondered, okay, dude, it's 35-17 now. And, like, they need to not only score on their first drive because they got the ball first, but they gotta contain Bama if they have any chance of staying in this game. And 16-play drive, 7 minutes, and the clock stops at the first down. Not like it used to, but it still does a little bit. So, I mean, a 16-play drive, dude, that was just and I know they went back and scored a touchdown right away to theoretically put it in within, you know, two touchdowns, but once you saw that opening drive, they already had a lead of 35, and I know they only got a field goal, but it just felt like, dude, there's just no way around it. It's not going to happen. They got it. And for Jones, I mean, what a hell of a way to end the career. 36-45, 464, 5 touchdowns. Harris, they gave him the ball a lot, especially in the second half. And that guy can go through you. He can juke you. He can spin. I really like Harris a lot. I've said that a couple of times now. But Smith lived up to his Heisman performance. 12 touchdowns. He might as well have. 12 receptions, 215, and 3 TDs. Just a dominant performance. And there's not much else you can really say about it. And it's, you know, I'll let you follow up, of course, but, you know, I guess this is just another point of, you know, well, I'll let you follow up. Do you have anything else to say about that?
Two things. One, how effing smart is Vegas? When we did our preview show,
yes,
we were discussing the over-under of 75. The game finished 76.
Was it 76 and a half or 76?
Well, the final score was 76. I'm not sure. I know the point spread opened at over 75. I'm not sure what it closed at.
I think it
at,
jumped to 76.5. Imagine if you went late on that. You'd be like, mother effer.
Jesus.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I was going to point that out. That's a great point. What's your other point? They got – I mean, we could sit there and say from week to week, I think Vegas has got it a little wrong here. But we also go back and say, hey, Vegas. And, I mean, if this isn't the hey, Vegas moment, I don't know what it was. What was, especially in the national championship.
Oh, well, and also in November of this past month was, or of the past year, it was the most profitable month in Las Vegas sportsbook history. In November of 2020, the Vegas casino sportsbooks made, it's either 51 or 56 million, the biggest they've ever had for profit in a month on sports gambling. So, yeah.
I know Jersey just killed it too. I saw their numbers.
Yeah, Texas has to follow suit, or Minneapolis does, so I can have a little more fun in life other than do the offshore stuff.
I'm pretty sure it'd be Minnesota, but, you know, whatever, just Minneapolis.
Oh, hell, Texas, we have so many damn issues. Why can't, I don't know why we can't add sports gambling and make it a little more fun. But my other point was, there's a reporter named Nicole Auerbach. I believe she's normally written for SI, or she's with, like, a really prominent sports affiliation, and she's a great journalist. But what killed me was she actually got a tweet, or she got a text, and she tweeted that a Power 5 coordinator texted her that this was the end of a dynasty. And for what I know, Chris, I do not believe that was a troll. But if someone truly texted her saying, hey, from a prominent school, this is the end of a dynasty, I hope that person was referencing Ohio State, because in case you didn't know, next year, Nick Saban has the number 2 and number 3 recruits in the land who are both offensive linemen. And I believe he has 3 linemen in the top 10. And I believe he has 2 of the top receivers in the top 50 in the country. So unless there's inside information that Saban's retiring and throwing in the towel and going to leave the program with complete imbecile, the end of the Bama dynasty is... you must have been like 12 sheets to the wind, drunk on something.
Right.
Dude, this train is not stopping. You're going to have a line next year of all the top crews. And the thing is, Chris, those top 2 and the 3 linemen in the whole country might not even play next year, because whoever's filling in for Bama this next year for offensive line is probably going to be a future NFL draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, one of them
will
probably play, you know, because he has started some freshmen. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're going to win next year. It just is like, dude, but this program's not done. Like, yeah, that's a – and he didn't even retire. Like, that is weird to say that. Huh.
It just made me chuckle. I'm like, well, you know, I can't blame the guy for being optimist, or maybe the guy hates Bama.
Maybe he's from Mississippi State. You know?
End of a dynasty?
Mississippi State, dude. Remember, they're going to take over the whole conference with their scoring.
You got to get dethroned before someone's got to slay the dragon before this Bama dynasty. Because I would bet $1,000 today that Bama's going to be in the Final Four again next year. Again, is that a guarantee? No. Is it highly likely? Yes. and if Bama is going to be dethroned, what blue blood is going to come in and take the script?
Clemson's not that far off.
No, they're not. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I saw that. That just made me laugh. I'm like,
that's silly.
No, the dynasty's not over. You're wrong.
That was
if you think that, have fun. Go beat him and prove me wrong.
Right. And another thing, just to put a little bow on this stuff, like. So much for, you know, we got to let all the teams have a chance, and we got to let's expand it to 8 or year 16. I mean, this year you heard 32. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? Like 32. So right now, like it's come on. So Iowa would be in the playoff. Like, dude, why would we have Iowa in the playoff this year? Like, there's so many didn't they already get beat on the field? I mean, Indiana only lost once or twice, but hey, they got, you know, like, this kind of puts a nice little bow, like I said, on this thing. So Notre Dame, pretty damn good team, obviously. Very, you know, good program, whatever. They're just not there. You know, we've talked about them. Clemson, obviously, besides Bama, they're the second best program in the last 5-6 years. That's just hands down. There's no debate in there. And of course, Oklahoma's steady getting there. Now, you know, winning it, that's a different story, but they get there. They're definitely solid and all that. But to sit there and act like you want, you know, these teams to get in there. So Northwestern should have got in there because they had a competitive game. Didn't they get beat, though? And why would you want to recycle this shit? And pretty soon, then they're going to be like, it's the same people that say all these bowls suck. Well, you're just going to get more bowls that suck then, that you know the winner. Like, it just doesn't even, like, we've always said, hey, if you want to go 5 or 6, I'm with you. But if you want to keep the college football regular season the best in all of sports, you got to keep it under 6. I mean, even 8 doesn't make sense because that's the whole point of the quarterfinals that happen through the non-conference, the conference, and the conference final. So this whole 16-team thing is ridiculous.
The past 3 national title games have been wins of 24, 17, and 28. So nothing has been a one-possession game. You'd have to go back, I think, 4 years when Clemson and Bama had a good back-and-forth.
Those back-to-back national title games, those were awesome.
And honestly, the last 3 games of the college football season sucked. Notre Dame Bama was an abysmal watch. The only reason the score wasn't that bad was because Saban called off the dogs against Brian Kelly. I guess they're buddies. I'm not, again, I wish I hadn't lost that first half team total bet, but I move on. That game sucked. The Clemson just got rolled by Ohio State. And again, did people expect it? No, but it happened. That game wasn't close.
Right.
And the national title game wasn't close either. I went to bed in the fourth quarter just because, and I almost never ever do that. But I knew if I woke up and I saw Twitter was ablaze that I was going to wake up to the biggest comeback ever, and we probably would have done a show on when I drive to work that morning for school.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't have been sleeping still. I'd be like, hey, so, Marshall, where you at? We're doing.
I would hope
tonight.
My friends would have called me until my phone literally woke me up. Because if Bama had blown a 28-point lead in the fourth quarter, that would have been one of the coolest stories ever. Then we would have had a bowl. But
right, we did.
It's been a lot of, and again, people keep ripping Notre Dame. Well, they keep going there and they lose them. Well, then someone else needs to surpass Notre Dame. And again, I'm not a Notre Dame guy, but again, I think, and I was just thinking of this in a very logical, basic way, because a lot of times in sports in this country, we like to crunch numbers now or do sabermetrics. Excuse me. I think what just hit me is the fact out of, okay, if you watch hockey playoffs, a hot goalie can carry, and I'll get to my point, Chris, but a hot goalie can carry a team. In baseball playoffs, a hot pitcher can carry a team. In the NFL playoffs, everything's a crapshoot. NBA, it's really competitive because it's best out of 7. So almost every single sport in the country, when you watch in the playoffs, there's not 100% locks. It's NBA playoffs first round, kind of. But even so, almost every sport in the country that we have to be fans of is always competitive. College football is the one sport where if you did make the playoff wider, the chances of the upsets really don't happen. Again, you're not going to have
less good competitive bowl games, too.
Yeah.
Because those would be matched up with more like teams.
You're right. Because there's no version of an ace pitcher or a hot goalie that can carry you in college football. Again, any other sport in the whole country that we love can pretty much have fair playoff games. But yeah, if you go from 1 to 8, if Bama
even like
is
a Michael Vick, who, by the way, was the top 2. He was the second team, Virginia Tech that year, ranked team. But he had this crazy game. They still lost.
Yeah, it's just if you go 1 to 8, okay, Bama just smoked the top 2 teams in the country, or 2 of the top 3, okay? And they weren't games. So what are we truly gaining by having Bama play the 8th best team in the country? Now, again, from a sport underdog fan perspective we are in this country, sure, it'd be cool to see 1 through 8, 2 through 7. But do we really want to see Clemson and Ohio State roll through, potentially roll through Indiana and or not, excuse me, not Indiana, Cincinnati and A&M. Now, again, could upsets happen? Yes. But what we've seen over and over again is if the top four teams cannot compete with the top two, why do we think 7-8 are going to compete? Again, it's just
especially when they already beat them. You know, they already beat most of the stuff. You got there for a reason. It just doesn't line up, and it's just silly. It's just silly. It doesn't make sense. It's actually taken away from the kids of having a better matchup, and it's okay. Like, why don't you just say the ending of college football sucks then? Just sure. That's fine. You know, why can't people just say that's how I feel? Okay, cool, but don't come at me with 16 teams. Like, just not only that, but you give Nick Saban or any of these great coaches 2 or 3 weeks to get ready for you? It's a wrap, Lord. Dude. That's where the whole upset thing gets thrown out the window when you have 3 weeks to study.
Well, and to wrap this up finally, and I heard this point, which was beautifully said, part of this also is on a lot of these major football college house schools have shit the bed. Are we tired of seeing the same 3 to 4 teams? Yes. But due to poor hiring of coaches, it is an embarrassment because we should have a Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, Notre Dame. They've been the top four of late. LSU dancing a little bit with Oklahoma. But also every year, USC, Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas,
Florida State, Miami.
Florida State, yep. Miami. There should be a legit, Chris, every year we start our podcast that 10 to 12 teams have a legit chance of making the Final Four. But since USC hired a bum coach, in my opinion, Texas hasn't done shit since Mack Brown left. Michigan and Penn State are pretty much massively irrelevant to a national title potential, despite being a respectable team. The Oregon has fallen off a map. So part of it is, you got to look in the mirror and say, dude, I got to give Bama and Clemson credit because they at least they've been able to hold on. Like, if you would have told me after Pete Carroll left USC, if you'd have said, hey, 10 years from now, is USC going to be a top dog? Sure, yeah. You'd assume that USC would still be fighting for a playoff spot with Oregon, or at least Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State would be taking turns contending for national title. These other schools have really dropped the ball, which has made it to where it's 4 schools every year. If it was 8 schools contending, I think people would be really, really super happy with the playoff picture. I think there'd be no asking for more teams. It'd be like, dude, okay, we have 8 or 9 legit teams. Let's actually make this last month of college football super entertaining. But no one has really picked up the rock and ran with it. And that's just, again, that's not the playoff committee's fault. That's just a lack of competitiveness offered by schools who used to be blue bloods and no longer are. And
well, once you're a blue blood, I'm not saying you stay a blue blood forever, but I don't think they're not anymore all the way. But another thing is, though, when you say hire bad coaches, well, okay, so you're telling me there's these, you know, 13 great coaches that just haven't been hired? Like, I don't know about the coaches thing 100%. I disagree with you on that. And I don't remember a time when there was 12 teams that have a possibility of winning a championship, except you're talking maybe by week 6 or something like that. So I think you're overdoing some of that. But you make a good point as far as some of the Michigan last 2 years, they haven't been on the scene. Wisconsin gets there. You know, they got in there. Remember that undefeated team or whatever? They got in there a while back. And some of this has to do with the conference finals, too. You got that extra game. Well, you didn't have that extra game before. So maybe that undefeated team would have got – maybe Iowa would have gotten there, but they got beat by, you know, Ohio State or whatever. You know what I mean? So conference finals do play a niche in it, but I'm meeting you halfway, but I don't remember a time when there's the 12 teams that had a legit shot to win the national title.
You're at 12 is high.
Or even 10. I don't remember that time. And I've been watching for quite a while.
I think what I should have said was you should have a circulation of every 2 to 3 years, 10 teams who on a given year of those 3 are contending, which we've not had.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's very true. But, you know, I don't know. I think maybe we saw just having 1 against 2, maybe we did see that new team and it felt like a new team too. Because, they got here. Okay, cool. You know, so maybe, I don't know, instead of the 4 Yeah, but you're right about that, about six teams. You know, they just keep recycling in. But, you know, like, for instance, in Florida, it's hard for Miami, Florida State, and Florida all to be great at the same time. It's
true. Actually kind that of difficult. That is fair.
But I'll also say this. If you look at the starting secondary of Alabama, guess what state they come from?
Oh, Florida. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you could call LSU DB and all that, but Florida is DB state. So you can have your LSUs, you can have your Texases and all these DBU. That's true. Okay, cool. But where are they coming from? You know what I mean? A lot of them are coming from Florida. But, yeah, I just think that – I don't know. I just think people got overdone with it. And nowadays, I think also with the rigmarole and the – just so much we gotta spaz out on everything, you know, and we gotta get retweets and likes and shit like that and replies, and we gotta get our impressions up on Twitter. I think that plays into it too, because I literally for the first time heard 32. And it's like, guys, what are you even talking about? 32 teams? Why even play the regular season then? Like, and a lot of these folks – they don't even – it's not about loving college football, but they don't get it. They don't get all the rivalries. They don't get – you're taking away rivalries if you could play someone. I mean, you could literally maybe play someone three times a year in that system. You play them during the regular season, play them during the conference final, then you play them again. Would you want to see Clemson against Notre Dame again? Would you have wanted to see that the third time? I don't know. I think we got it settled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It is what it is. But I just think that the negative level this year at the end, instead of just saying Cincinnati should have been at least 4 through 6, let's argue. You know what I mean? That I can understand that. Now, having a month off did hurt them. Having a full month off on the calendar did hurt them. And that did not get talked about much. So that sucks for them. That did hurt them, though. That did hurt them. Because once you beat a quality team and move up on someone, it's hard to bump around or move up and down. I don't know. Cincinnati, clearly, I mean, they should have been at, I mean, they were eighth. They beat the ninth in Georgia. They should have been whatever. You know, I think they should have been about fifth or sixth. And we talked about that. You know, we weren't putting them in, but we did. You know, we both thought Ohio State should be in over them, but then again, they should just be higher. So you can't – a lot of people took this one thing and just ran with it to make their story. And it's like, what college football have you been watching all this time? I guess that's my problem.
Yeah, and to wrap this up, Bama was a 17.5-point – no, 19. Not yet. Anywhere around a 19 to 20 point favorite against Notre Dame. If you put Bama versus an 8 seed, you're now looking at a 27 point spread, which the idea and the concept is fun, but who wants to see a team that's favored by 27 play when it comes down to naturally the games? And Clemson would probably be a 20 to 22 point favorite against a team who's the 7 seed. So it's college football is just a unique sport with how we're set up for the power teams that be. But
There's 11 people on the court. Yes. I mean, on the field, there's only 5 on the court. So a lot of people, like, look at the NBA is full of dynasties, dude, full of dynasties, because if you can get the best 5 lineup, it's tough to, it's so tough to beat that. It just is. It's just that's the way it is. But you add more players can screw up a play, you know. And in college, yes, you get away with it more because you have a linebacker who can make up for the other linebacker because he's going pro and he's going to be a first rounder. But that doesn't happen much, as much in the NFL, you know. So I don't know. It is what it is. But like we said, we call it the College Ball Show because now – basketball is in full swing, and we will be going here out really for the rest of the winter, spring, and summer because the NBA. We go college ball all the way till early April for the national championship. Then we flip into the NBA playoffs. Now, this year it's going to be a little – it'll probably be a little bit more gap in there. Maybe we'll have some shows and stuff like that because the season's a little longer than it normally would be schedule-wise anyway. Usually, literally the next week or 10 days, the NBA playoffs start. That won't be the case this year. It'll take a little bit longer. But just a heads up, just so you guys know, that's why we call it the College Ball Show. We go football to basketball for those who are interested. And when you look at, you know, I mean, not a huge surprise, speaking of Blue Bloods, Gonzaga, 12-0, undefeated. They are a deep squad. They're a multi-everything type squad. How many great, you know, they pretty much handled Virginia. They had that 1-point win against Iowa. So they've been obviously looking good. I'm looking at it. They got for the AP Top 25, they got 63 votes. One of them was Baylor. They're 11-0. They got some tough games coming up. Texas, they're number 4. We were just talking about this before we came on. Shaka has been trying to grind there and get it going, and it's kind of nice that they've been patient with them enough because it looks like it may pay off. I know they had a good close last year. They started good, then fell apart, but we're getting stuff together at the end of last year. And so Texas is up there. Obviously, Iowa up there. No mistake with Kansas up there, right? But Michigan is 10-0. And people were kind of waiting to see on them until they beat 3 straight ranked teams, and they shot up to 7th. So tonight there's actually some pretty good games. What have you noticed just in general? Anything stand out to you? Because now we are starting to feel it, just like the NBA. You are starting to finally see – it took the Big Ten a while to cancel a game in college basketball, but now that's happening. And obviously this COVID here is going to be a little funky too.
Yes, for the biggest positive, the first thing I'll say about college basketball this year on the podcast is we're looking at having a March Madness, which is beautiful. The rough game plan is to just basically cover the city of Indianapolis and then use college campus universities surrounding it for the tournament. So as of now, we are playing the season for a reason. There should be March Madness. They'll have teams on different levels and hotels for the floors and everything. So we should be having a bracket, which is the most important thing to all.
The Indiana bubble is what we're going to call it.
Yes, which is beautiful because last year we got robbed of what could have been potentially one of the best tournaments of all time. Hopefully we get a repeat or something similar to that this year. What I've noticed this year, Gonzaga's offense is really effing good. You know, normally in college basketball, the over-unders are much lower than NBA just due to 8 less minutes of game time, less potential skill. But I've seen some Gonzaga games where their team totals for a team to score points a game is 90. Like, what? How many college basketball teams has Vegas ever had to where, dude, we're going to have you bet will they score 90 or 90 or higher? Like, that's since, like, and again, a weaker caliber punch, sure, but there's been plenty of Carolina teams I've watched, Duke teams, like Michigan, plenty of teams, and I've never seen over-unders of 90 for a team to score. So this offense is on a freaking mission. Besides that, I've been watching a lot of the Big East and the Big Ten. I'm a Tar Heels fan, but we're having a rough year so far, and I've not been able to catch many of my games due to work.
Don't make me put the violin on this early in the season.
No, I'm just saying I haven't seen my boys.
I will.
They're still my boys. I just haven't watched them play as much as I can. Oh, we're a super young team this year. We got 4 freshmen playing, which normally Roy doesn't do. So it'll be fun to see how they progress. But for the Big East love, that's a fun conference to watch. I think from top to bottom, it's very competitive. I've just been watching games left and right. It seems like every week they have a buzzer beater or something similar to it. From that respect, Creighton's my second favorite team. Creighton's pretty damn good. Villanova gets a lot of love for their ranking, but they have not played in like 2 or 3 weeks. So Villanova could be a good team. We haven't seen them play. And then you got a mixture of Seton Hall and Xavier and kind of trickling down. So that's a fun conference. And the Big Ten conference is super fun as well. And the Big Ten is probably, in my opinion, the best conference in the country. on a given week, seven or eight of the teams are ranked. You have Michigan, who's having a hell of a year. Most people say Iowa's probably the best team in the Big Ten. Chris, my co-host, is a Golden Gophers, having a very nice season. Sparty's having a very nice year. Penn State is definitely, I would say, a potential bubble team. Maryland's having a nice season. Purdue has been beating people. Like, I just listed seven teams, and that's probably leaving off a few that are respectable. So the Big Ten is going to be a super fun watch, like always, but I think this year is just as strong as what we've seen the last couple of years, maybe even more. So, yeah, the Big Ten's loaded. Gonzaga's really effing good. And if you've not watched Iowa play, they also have a very high potent offense like Gonzaga. And Luka Garza is – it's cool to see, like, big men that are super good. They can shoot the three because we don't get that often in college basketball. But this dude's got post moves. He's a pretty good defender, and he can jack up threes and hit them pretty effectively. So if you're not watching Iowa game yet this year, turn them on because they're a pretty fun team to watch. And it's also a team who, again, speaking of my co-host, his Gophers beat in a hell of a fun game at home in Minneapolis.
Christmas, yeah. That was crazy. And I'm gonna actually use the coaches' poll this year because they have my Gophers at 19 rather than 23. So we're going coaches' poll the rest of the year. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun season. We're going to wrap up this we realize this started football, but we're going to wrap this up. We'll be back next week. But, yeah, we'll be talking college basketball. And there's less games this year. And if you look at the schedule, it feels like there's not always two games a week. And they did that for a reason, obviously, because of COVID. So, a lot of people are like, oh, we're done, we're screwed, everything. Oh, hold on, just hold on, dude. It's not over yet. If they're not canceling it. Remember they said this about baseball, too. Even pro soccer, remember they lost like two teams right away. Like, just give it a little time. Everything's good. I kind of think some of this COVID is like as far as on campus, it's like where your facility is compared to where you live. And you know how, like, the big thing in the last chunk of years is you try to put the workout center, the gym, and shoot, hoops, and you try to put where you could eat, and you try to put your dorm, your living. Like, you try to put that where it's all just walkable right away. And some colleges have that, some colleges don't. And that actually plays a role. Because if you got to go into public that aren't getting tested as much as, the athletes – that actually plays a role. And if you just got to cross the street to go to the facility and work out and get some shots up and have practice, and then you just go walk a block and there's your food, and then you go back into your room, that helps a lot more than more of a different setup of campus. And I've been noticing that a lot more. So hopefully, everything goes good. And, yeah, it is very smart that they have the Indiana bubble already planned. So why don't you shut down the show there, sir?
I'll just say my last point. It's going to be very interesting on Selection Sunday because for as long as Chris and I have all been fans, or hell, anyone's been fans, the college basketball Selection Sunday show is really fun to watch. But it's always been a show where every team has essentially played the same amount of games as every other team. This year, I think you're going to have kind of a college football similar-like committee in some ways. Because, as I just said, my Creighton boys are 7-2 in the Big East, and Villanova's 3-1. So they're not going to have time to fix a five-game conference difference. But you also can't discredit a team like Villanova, who's ranked top five. So Selection Sunday, which normally is pretty cut and dry, Lenardi will pick 64 out of 65. Like, everything's pretty much down to a science. Every year there's always two or three teams who get pissed, but that's just how March Madness rolls. This year, Chris, it's going to be really interesting because you're going to have a bunch of different teams on a bunch of different platters, and it's going to be super hard to compare them just because college basketball really never has to do that. So it'll be very fascinating in about probably 2 months to the day, or very close to that, as to how the Selection Sunday goes, because you're going to have a team who, we played 10 less games than the team near us, but we're better. So how they handle that'll be something fun to watch. Again, I know it's COVID sucks, but that issue's not going away. So just something to kind of pay attention to for the teams you love. Well, are they playing games? Are they injured? Are guys out with COVID? Is your team getting shut down? So, yeah, we'll see. But it should be a very fun year. I do hope we get March Madness that does start in 2 months. And until then, we'll be with you every week. We always appreciate your support. Keep wearing a mask. Stay safe, stay warm, and enjoy watching hoops. The boys are out tonight. Peace.